gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Ryan McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, how was your Easter / April Fool's Day?
Man, it was great. I just rested. Praise the Lord, everybody.
That's wonderful. Now, since you had a great one, I'm gonna complain a little bit.
Oh Lord.
Now, church, just stay with me for a moment as I go through my sermon. But for 34 years of life, we have always had turkey and ham on every special holiday when the family gets together.
Tomatoes.
Yes. So, imagine my surprise at year 35.
Y'all had pizza. Okay.
We had ham and another type of bird. My grandmother decided, you know, year 35, year 80 for her, but year 35 for myself, she decided that instead of turkey, we're going to do a roasted chicken this year for Easter. Now, I enjoy chicken. Yes, thank God for chicken.
He didn't have to do it, but he did.
No, he did not.
Gave him too late. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Preach.
So being the sarcastic person that I am, I couldn't let this go. So I made sure it was talked about all day long. In fact, during the meal, somebody asked me, everything good? I said, oh yeah. This turkey is real good. It's a real good turkey. And that's how I refer to it all day long. In fact, I think my sarcasm went a little too far because at one point in the day, when I went back for leftovers, I was going to make me a turkey sandwich. Turkey was not in the fridge. I inquired as to where the turkey was. I was told that turkey went to grandma's house because she didn't think anybody over here was going to eat it, which means she was offended by my sarcasm all day long. So I had to go make up and apologize. So got my turkey sandwich, by the way. But yeah, so that's just my little bitty complaint. You know, I'm a creature of habit.
Did y'all put some hot sauce on it?
They did. My mom and my grandma don't think anything can go without hot sauce. They did.
Hello.
But speaking of things that were not so hot, let's talk about the men's Final Four this weekend.
The thrill is gone. Thrill is gone, baby. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm out of church mode. I'm coming out.
I should have seen the chicken coming because I've been on this roller coaster with Sister Jean and Loyola. Yeah. And, Michigan put a stop to that, but put a halt to it. Mo Wagner, Michigan's big-time post player, led the team with 24 points, 15 rebounds. Just a huge performance by him as they just, in the second half, just dismantled everything Loyola was trying to do. The roller coaster has ended. The ride is over for the Ramblers.
It's over now.
And not to be outdone, a good on you from the point guard. His name escapes me, from Michigan, but he was caught on camera in the hallway chasing down Sister Jean's caravan as they were wheeling her out, and just congratulated her on her team success and everything this season. So he didn't want to go to hell apparently. So he wanted
stop
to,
it stop
he
it.
Wanted to get right.
He just wanted to meet Sister Jean. She's an icon now.
I kid, but that was a pretty good moment to see on TV. In the midst of his celebration, he was able to go and do that. Yeah, Loyola Chicago just seemed to run out of gas. That the steam was not for them. They shot terribly from the field. I don't even think they made a 3-pointer. Just out rebounded by a much bigger Michigan team, and that's the way it goes. So, Michigan will face Villanova, who
will once win again, and win their second in 3 years.
Once again, another team that I had counted out early in the tournament, because here's why. They have the talent to go all the way like they have. But they play that style where it's just living and dying by the three-pointer. And I said somebody in the tournament is going to play some defense against them. They're going to shut them down, and they're going to get put out when they ought not to. I was wrong. I can admit when I was wrong. I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong. But they rolled a barrage of three-pointers. In fact, I think they hit a record 18. I think it was tied the record for the most three-pointers in a Final Four game with 18. So Villanova, pretty much dismantled Kansas. It wasn't really a game ever. Two terrible. as far as watching it, two terrible games, no real anticlimactic kind of thing.
Well, the women came to the party.
Yeah.
With a bunch of fun and drama. Go ahead.
Yeah, so let's slide on over to the women's side if we can. Let's start with the first Final Four semifinal. We had Louisville going up against Mississippi State. They get latched on a player and they just don't stop talking about it. They were all over Tierra McCowan, the 6'7" center from Mississippi State, just talking about it nonstop, about everything she was doing as far as like her rebounding numbers. I think the record for most rebounds in an NCAA tournament was 75 by Janelle McCarville back in 2004, I believe. 2003. It was early 2000 when she played for Minnesota. But, Tierra dismantled that. She had 78 by the end of this game, which means, I think she had like another 12 or 13 yesterday in the championship game.
Oh, I'm sorry. She had to be in the record book. They lost. Go ahead.
So anyway, let's see. But they just the stats out. I was writing them down as they were spitting them off. And she grabbed 33% of the team's boards, team's misses, with 13 offensive rebounds against Louisville. Just had a But here's my problem. She's a monster on the board because she's 6'7". She needs, before she comes to next year's season, because it's gonna be different for her with all these guards graduated. She's not going to have the same opportunities. But what she needs to do all offseason long, I want her to find at least two post moves.
Well, we couldn't find one for the kid at South Carolina. That's all she ever had and left with. So, good luck.
Yeah. I just want her to find a way to learn two post moves. Because all she has is to turn and shoot over you. And she's so just clumsy and weak. I don't mean talk about it as bad because she had big numbers. But she just, it's just infuriating to watch her play. But, let's see, a couple more stats for you. Mississippi State, who won, by the way, I have not made that clear, but if you did not know, they won. they finished with an offensive efficiency of 104.2, scoring 73 points on 70 possessions. Louisville ended with an offensive efficiency of 92.6. Scored 63 points on 68 possessions. At halftime, both were about 88 points per 100 possessions, which was pretty impressive. It wound up being a 10-point game, 73-63, but it was very close. And honestly, Louisville was in control up until a foul was called on, I can't think of the girl's name, Louisville post player. But she immediately, you know, just in reaction, just slaps the floor. They call a technical foul. And
hey, go with your personals.
Yeah. And from then on, it's just like the switch was flipped into state's favor, and they wound up taking it. So that was a very interesting game. Then you got the second semifinal, which pitted UConn against Notre Dame. So interesting note. Now, the first time in Final Four history, by the way, that both games went in overtime. I do need to state that. Interesting note from this game, in particular, both teams, UConn and Notre Dame, only played 6 players in a game that went through overtime, which is pretty impressive. Let's see. Yeah, Notre Dame winds up winning on the last second shot by Arike Ogunbowale. Let's see. Shooting percentages were even, 56% for each team. Offensive rebound rate, UConn led that 51-37. Defensive rebound, UConn again, 63-49. Assist rate, that was UConn.
Can we just get to the last seconds of overtime? The people don't want to hear all that, Brian.
That's why I'm going through it. So anyway, yeah, Notre Dame was led by its 2 guards, Ogunbowale with 27 points and Jackie Young with 32. It was just, you know, each of the last 2 seasons, UConn entered the Final Four with a 36-0 record. Both of them lost by 2 in overtime on the game-winning shot. That's crazy.
That's good.
Yeah. Let's see. But, yeah, so that moved on Notre Dame and to play Mississippi State.
Did you tell the people the last second shot?
Did I tell them?
The big O hit our first game winner.
Talk to him, Brian. Yes. Ogunbowale, late as she takes down UConn. Oh, did you see who tweeted her? Who was at the game watching?
I want him to have several seats. He got a daughter, That's probably why he all into women's basketball. He got 2 girls.
And they showed both of them not. They showed him and his wife. They didn't show the daughters on TV.
Interesting.
He had tweeted out this Kobe Bryant for everyone who did not watch this. Who
I was tried not up. To say his name, but go ahead.
He was dressed all in UConn. Clearly, he had allegiances as he was there at the game for Notre Dame UConn. But so he tweeted out, you know, about it being, you know, big time shot, big time player, or whatever. And Ogunbowale responded to him and said, you know, now her life's complete. She got a tweet from Kobe, which he, you know, being him, can't help himself. Retweeted it and said, "No, your life is complete when you finish the job on Sunday." So let's fast forward to Sunday, shall we?
Yes, let's go on.
State was in control of this game all the way until I believe it was like 6 minutes left in the third. They were ahead by 15. Everything looked like it was just rolling. And from that point on, Notre Dame outscored them 36-18. Let's see. They won, you know, they destroyed them on the boards in the second half, that being Notre Dame. It was a 16-1 run that really broke the game open. So it comes down. Now, mind you, church, as I've been preaching this morning, Morgan Williams, the point guard for State, was, I mean, just murdered at half court by Martina Mabry from the point guard at Notre Dame. I mean, just completely killed. And I thought for sure, you know, a foul would be called, something. No foul. So the ball is loose. Uh-oh. My phone is going off this morning. People know, and it's people calling me that know I'm doing a podcast. That's how that goes. So anyway, yeah, completely murdered at half court. No foul call. Ball bounces. Notre Dame gets it back. Tierra McCowan immediately reaches in the foul, and that, you know, fouls her out the game. Which, you know, you still have two fouls to give, so at that point that foul don't hurt you. You don't put them at the free throw line. It was a good play, even though I think she just looked into it. I don't mean to talk about the girl, but good, she gets on my nerves. Anyway, so, yeah, so that happens. They get the ball on the sideline. Now, they have still one foul to give, Church. Stay with me. They throw the ball in to Arike Ogunbowale, and who has just 2 nights ago won the game for them at the buzzer against UConn. Stay with me now. Wouldn't you, being a coach, wouldn't you have instructed your player?
I don't care who touched the ball and shoot it. She ain't getting it.
Now say something miraculous happens, and they do. They get it into her. Which, nothing miraculous happened, they just threw it right to her. So, but anyway, say they get it to her. Wouldn't have you instructed your player to use that foul to give and...
Yeah, and make them take it out again.
Thank you. And make sure...
You would tell them something like, all right, I want you to be overly aggressive and go for the steal.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell them not to foul because you know you got one. And it's fine, and they might just come up with a steal. Or they might foul and they take it out. I mean, did they know they had one foul to give?
I'm hoping that they did. I mean, there was a timeout call before all this, so you'd think that was talked about in the huddle. Anyway, no foul is taken. Ogunbowale drives to the baseline, and on her way to the baseline, she pops up and just heaves up a miraculous three-pointer, and it hits nothing but net. Just perfect. And with originally it was, you know, the buzzer had sounded and game was over. Referees go to the scores table and they put 0.1 back on the clock for whatever reason.
Right.
They should have just said game over. But to make it worse, they take their time out that they had left. They take a timeout. They get it at half court with 0.1 on the clock. And what do they do? Down three. They lob for a layup. I went, now I know you don't have any time to do anything but basically a volleyball tap. But at the same time, why are you down three lobbing it for a layup? What's a layup going to do for you?
Put you down one. But this is the thing. 6'7" girl should have hit the layup. I mean, she had a drop step layup and she just blew it. Like, then they would have been up two. That don't mean she wouldn't have hit the shot and they would have won by one. But it would have been more pressure.
Yeah. And Tia speaking of before the phantom no call.
Yeah, right before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have put a lot more pressure on that shot. And, you know, and not just the shot, the inbound in general, because they would have had to get something done. Then it was tie game when she shot the three-pointer. So they would have been behind, a lot more pressure, and your palms get sweaty in situations like that. But yeah, Mississippi State lost its second straight national title game. Among the 8 teams to reach the national title game a year after finishing as runner-up, only 2 have won those titles in their return appearance. That would be in 1988. Louisiana Tech Lady Texas, shout out to Teresa Wetherspoon, and 1996 Tennessee Lady Vols, which is the makeup of that team was eerily similar to this Notre Dame team. Now, Shamika Holclaw obviously is a lot taller than Ogunbowale, but they play a lot similar. She was a freshman on that team, and the Abby Conklin from Tennessee is a lot like the big post player from Notre Dame. Basically the same kind of build and everything. So, yeah, thought that was pretty interesting. And Michelle Marciniak is a little nasty, dirty little player who played just
State blew this, okay? Besides the lead they had, like you said, the thing at half court, Big girl missed a little drop step layup. Uh-huh. Once she shot it with her left hand, but shot it with her right. Where the defense was right on it, she missed it. She should have still made it.
Right.
Then the big girl gets a steal because they try to lob. I'm not sure why you try to lob over somebody that's 6'7", but she did. She got it and grabbed it and gave it to a little point guard. Her little point guard, I don't know what she should have been either trying to go straight to the back. I don't know what she was doing, whether she got bumped or not. Like, what are you doing? The game is tied.
Right.
At the least, you just dribble the ball out.
Right.
Launch one from half court. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she was rushing up the floor like she had to go score right then.
Right. Like she needed to score because they was behind.
Right. So, yeah.
So, bad decision. They
could have
called a foul.
I'll say this. Yeah. I was pulling for them because I was pulling for the state of Mississippi.
We was trying to make SEC great again.
Yeah, I you know, the SEC, and I was pulling for my state. I really was, truthfully.
But I really thought they would win. And then I look up and I'm like, I just beat dog. Where to lose this Mississippi State? I just want y'all to know that these appearances, you know, they few and far between, just like the Warriors about to find out. Or they've been to 5 straight or whatever, or 3-4 straight. They're not going this year. These injuries are about to be the end of them going to NBA Finals. And if you're talking about all these guards they lose in state, y'all will be lucky to get back to Final Four, let alone the championship game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do next year.
Unless they got some super freshman coming in or something.
Well, I know. They have the transfer from UConn who will play next year.
Oh, somebody left UConn. And they pulled a Kevin Durant. They have the team that beat them and go on to play for state. Are the people giving them the business? This ain't good. This ain't good for the sport, is it? Oh.
It's just, you don't see it happen often. But
oh, this ain't a star. This ain't a star, so she can do it. Oh.
Well, no, she was a 5-star coming out of high school.
I have this problem. We can't have you leaving a team that beat you.
So, yeah. So they'll have her. They'll have the big girl back. Coach Schaefer's daughter Blair graduates. Morgan Williams graduates. Rashonda Johnson, the other guard, graduates.
Now which one is the little guard that beat us like her freshman year with that last second shot? The same one that beat State UConn last year. Ain't that the same kid?
Morgan Williams. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she gone.
She's gone. Blair Schaefer gone.
She should be like a fifth year senior or something. I'm just exaggerating. Go ahead.
Rashonda Johnson is gone, who transferred from Oklahoma State, and the All American Victoria Vivens will be gone. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting because that's just something that state has never historically, even when they have decent teams, have never been real good about losing a big senior class and, you know, recovering the next year. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It'll be a different looking team for sure, regardless, because I think the transfer from UConn is another post player, like maybe like a 4, a 3 or 4 player.
Well,
and
my nemesis here where I reside, I was prepared to have to go ahead and say congratulations, but apparently I don't have to now. All right, so.
Oh, Leah, like I said, I was pulling for them. I was pulling for my state.
I was like, state, y'all got it. It should be good. Then y'all didn't have it. Poor game management.
At the point of the three-pointer that Ogunba Wale hits, I'm standing in front of the TV, you know, just all into the game.
Oh, man.
So I'm up there, and, you know, it gets real quiet in the house. You know, family thinking, uh-oh, Ryan not going to be happy. Child, let me tell you, as I said, I was pulling for my state and pulling for SEC. But when she hit that shot, I sat there for a minute. And I waited, and then, you know, I saw the foolishness that they did about trying to lob and shoot a layup down 3 with 0.1 on the clock. And once the game was official and in the books, the blood started rolling through my veins. And I turned around and I let a big old hottie totty out as loud as I could let it out. Because it gave me great pleasure.
Well, they gonna have them two Final Four banners hanging in now. They in the rock. What is it called?
The hole.
The hole.
Yeah, basically, the whole, excuse me.
The whole, the hump.
Nasty fans. Just some nasty, nasty. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad that they have, been, you know, had all these sellouts here these last couple of years, and they're doing well drawing crowds. They got people waiting outside in lines to get in the games, and that's something that you don't see, especially in our state, but it's for women's basketball in general, which is great to see, and that's great, all great for them. But, you still ain't got that national championship. So, yeah. But, yeah, T, that's all I got to speak about today. I ain't had nothing else on the docket. Do you have anything you would like to go over this morning?
Well, I watched a little of the San Antonio-Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way this game was played, well, Chris Paul didn't play, and I think that probably would have helped San Antonio win. But I was like, this game looks ugly, which is probably how San Antonio wanted it. I don't know. I can't put my eggs in the basket with them no yet. I'm still worried about the Warriors and their injuries. Is this the most injury-riddled season that you ever can recall?
Especially for one team in general. I mean, they seem like everybody on their team has been hurt at one point or another.
I'll say that because the Lakers had the same thing when D'Antoni came.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we weren't favored to win nothing like that, but it seemed like every other game one of the Lakers got hurt that year.
Yeah. So.
But I mean, across the board, you got, what's his name, Achilles? The first game of the year or something, second, dude from Boston messed up his leg.
Literally the first quarter. Oh, man. Yeah.
And then, they just been falling like, dropping like flies.
Yeah, Cleveland's had a couple of injuries. Yeah, it seemed like it's been a rough year for everyone. And knock on wood, Anthony Davis has not been hurt today, this year, which, good for him.
Way to go, unibrow. Did he cut his unibrow?
Speaking of April Fools. Him and Red Bull teamed up to fool everybody. Everybody 2 days ago when that video came out thought that he really did shave his unibrow. And turns out it was an April Fool's prank.
April Fool's joke. Good job. Ain't got nothing better to do. But the playoffs are coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a few spots to be had. If I was the Warriors in Cleveland, then I'd be resting my people. Well, Cleveland can't because they could lose this 3 seed, I think it is, if they don't. Because Philly is like 9-1 in their last 10 games or something. So they got to keep playing unless they want that 4 seed.
Yeah. You know me. I'm cynical. I still think all these phantom injuries for Golden State are just a front. But if they wind up truly being injured, I believe Houston can. I've seen Houston in person. I think that they can. Take them down in a 7-game series. So it'll be interesting.
I don't say phantom. I just, like, you can't fake, either his hand broke or not, which, I mean.
Maybe. Now, the only injury I don't question is
Curry is not playing around with his ankles.
Right. I mean, I saw that with my own two eyes. I saw his ankle go one way and his body go the other. So,
and then we saw the boy fall in, the 7-footer fall into his 6'3 little leg.
Right.
I don't know what was supposed to be wrong with Draymond. But at this point, I think they will be trying to get some chemistry because they haven't played. They haven't been out there together a lot.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So that's happening. What, they got 7 games in the NBA left?
Yeah, I think they're coming on down to it. I think it's in, you know.
A week or so left before the madness start.
I think Wednesday, I believe, is the last day of the regular season.
So
next week we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs. Yay.
And we hadn't talked about any world news lately.
We have not.
Can I just say, 45 has got to, he got to get, he ain't going to change, but I'm embarrassed to call him the president of the United States. Now, he don't tweeted out on Easter Sunday, Donka is not coming back. It's over. First of all, I need you to come back with April Fool's or something. I don't know if that would be funny, but at least an April Fool's. Then I heard him on somebody had like, it was radio or him talking about, well, we're gonna stop all these immigrants from coming over here and using DACA. I was like, do you not know that you only got DACA if you were here already in 2007? Yeah. Like, these new people that come over won't be under DACA. They won't be covered under that. And I need you to know that as the president of this country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, Brian. Like, you can't, it's no reason for you to be ignorant of certain things, especially since we got Google. I mean, Google it.
And he got advisors for everything. So,
well, he probably don't pay them no attention.
I think that's been since the jump. I don't think he's, since day one.
Just Google it. That's just embarrassing to me that you don't know that the rule, like, anybody that come over here now would not be, DACA is not going to help them.
Yeah.
So sad.
I wish I had more for you. I don't. I just don't know.
Today, the man to play. Could you please make it to Black Panther?
Yes, I will go. Actually, tomorrow. I will go tomorrow. I promise you.
Y'all hear this, people?
This is the promise I'm making to you and the people.
Promises. You don't ever keep. But yeah, that was on my I heard that when I got out of the car this morning that he had tweeted that, and I was like, oh my god. I mean, I'm not running a country, I'm not really that political, but I do know that if you come over here now, you're not about to be eligible for DACA. And another disturbing thing is when the autopsy came out that the young man was shot in the back 8 times, and I was like, so he not facing y'all and y'all shot off 20 shots? Okay. Yeah, that's all I can say for that is, okay.
I'm not really, I have not heard, I've been kind of focused on this NCAA tournament, so I haven't got really deep into, I know who you're speaking of, I can't think of his name, but the young man that was shot, so I'm not really too far into researching all of that, but,
Stephen Clark. It might be pronounced
Stephen Clark. I heard that on the news. Yeah, Stephen Clark.
Yeah, in his grandmama's backyard. And Matt Barnes was out with the people protesting.
Oh, Jesus, help me.
You know, he's from that area.
I understand, but somebody else needs to be out there. Not
why?
Listen, not somebody who would literally drive 2.5 hours. To go beat up Derek Fisher, who's at a cookout with his children and his ex old lady. Now, I'm sorry, somebody that foolish.
No, he need to. He was peacefully protesting.
Okay. it just means it's gonna mean a lot more. Somebody.
No, it's another button that you push when you talk about some man's child and his ex, and you were supposed to be friends. That's another button. That's another button. But yeah, he was out and they still protesting. And I don't know why, because I don't think people want, much is going to change. Like much not going to change.
People say all the time, once, a certain generation is dead and gone, things as far as racial relations would be, on its way to being on the mend and being a lot better. I feel like racism is a learned trait. It's something that you learn, not something that you're born with.
Right.
You know, just.
Besides racism, and I'm gonna say and, not either or however, but and I don't even if we look at as far as things not changing, so I continually hear, oh, well, this next generation is gonna be the generation that changed things about the right. Guns.
Mm-hmm.
Stop fooling yourself. You're seeing a small sample size of the 300 million Americans. Like, you're not seeing enough numbers that would be able to flip a lot of seats to make some kind of change happen. And when you got greenbacks involved, like, they don't care who getting shot. White, black, the NRA, they like, we want to make our money. We want to keep our gun.
Oh, yeah. Commercialization at its finest.
And so I understand that these young people are, you know, upset because they friends or whatever getting killed. But in 2 years, I don't really know what, like, it ain't enough of them. I don't think it's enough of them to change the, we talking about when they get older and they want may run for office, but. And so ain't no system in place to hold police accountable. So we keep talking about training. I don't know. I don't know that it's all training. Like, and whether this person was black or white, the lady was saying that if they fear for their life or whatever, they can always go to lethal force. And like, that's part of. And so unless you change that from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. The policy needs to change more so than the training.
I'm sorry, we just had to interrupt you. I heard myself together.
I heard the door close.
I don't mean to get off topic, but this just, when you talk about, I spoke of commercialization and the interruption we just had. Me and him, we had a heated discussion over the weekend over technology. Because he struggles, he's got an iPhone now. He's off his free flip phone. He's got an iPhone and he loves it. He's on Facebook all the time. You hear him, you know, off in the corner somewhere, and you'll hear just Facebook where you can just watch video after video after video, just pop one after another. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start watching one, you just keep watching one after another. And he loves that, and he can never go back to his flip phone, no matter what he says. But it's just not real good with technology. Doesn't understand why something just isn't instantaneous. Like, it should be real quick. I had to explain to him, yes, technology is very advanced. In your mind, you think, yes, it should be real quick. But technology is also built on commercialization. You want something real quick, you're going to pay top dollar for that technology. There's technology, and then there's technology. So, you know, they trying to make money. So you're going to make, you know, you're going to have to pay if you want quick service, quick. So, but that's that older generation. They just, you know, they fear what they don't understand. And
I don't know about fearing it. I think that it's plenty of them that use it very well, and they do it better than I do, and they tweet and got Instagrams and all that other stuff. I don't have social media. I won't have it, one, because I'm trying to keep my private information private as possible. And we saw Facebook already don't let somebody use the information that they have. And the same thing, every time you let an app, because the apps be like, can we access your information? You have no idea what they do with the information when they access it. And so as many times as I can say no, like Google, when I pull up Google now, something about your location, I'll be like, block it. Why do you need to know where I am? If I need to tell you where I am, I can put it in the search engine. If I'm looking for something specifically in this area.
Yeah, but at the same time, I know enough about you to know if you actually one day decided that you want to do all that, you could pick it up like that. So,
well, I mean, I'm not ignorant to it. I just have no desire to do it just because it seems to be a waste to me. It can be helpful in certain situations, I guess, used properly, but too many people don't use it properly. And I think a lot of people need to digital detox. And I don't have to understand. I was just talking to somebody the other day why a kindergartner would need a phone. Like, if you're not 16 and driving, why do you need a phone? Like, you should always be with an adult. And until you, like, running around on your own. Like, yeah, if you some kids in New York City or something and you getting on a train by yourself or whatever, that's one thing. But a lot of these kids, why you need a phone? You should be with an adult. What kindergarten, Brian, you know, running around by themselves?
Oh, I understand. I know. I'm right there with you. I mean, I when I was growing up, cell phones were just becoming a big thing. And I remember, you know, I got my first cell phone, I think I was, just when I started driving. So I'd have been in, you know, 10th grade. I just started driving. That was the only reason I got my cell phone. And the only cell phone I was able to get, that I was allowed to get, was the one, the old Nokia, where you could play the snake game. And but that was like 2 years behind. Like, people had those when I was like in the eighth grade. For whatever reason, the eighth grader needed a cell phone, because you're not going anywhere on your own. You're always going to be with somebody. So, yeah. So I was 2 years behind basically on everybody else, but it just, I think that would be like the perfect time for somebody to have a cell phone when they're able to drive and they may be off somewhere on their own.
They might need it if you lost or whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you should be with an adult.
Exactly.
Maybe some 15-year-olds going home by themselves and people don't have landlines now. Well, we're going to leave the phone at the house. And when you get to the house, now you got a phone.
Exactly.
But when you, we are programming our kids. Somebody told me, and I didn't look up this research, but they was like, it's kids growing up now that don't know how to turn a page on a book because they're used to just sliding. You know how you slide things on the phone.
Right.
You know, on the iPad and all that with touch screens.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept of picking up and turning a page was foreign to them. That's crazy.
That's what my nephew, 3 years old, that's what his generation is. That's what they're going to be trained to do. They're not going to be reading books actual books. And he literally is going to know swiping, swipe.
Left.
He knows how to work.
Swipe right.
He knows how to work my dad's iPhone better than my 60-year-old father. He knows how to navigate through it at 3 years old.
It was a time you had to take typing class. I see, that's not a thing now. People know how to type just because they do it all the time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see some poor typers that don't use all of their fingers, but that's another story for another time.
So I don't mean to cut us off.
I'm talking about these generations coming up. Y'all gonna mess around. It's gonna be iRobot. But go ahead. I'm not falling for the okey-doke.
I need you to look up Will Smith's latest Instagram post where he's on the date in the robot. Did you see him?
I never looked at the video. I saw him with
Very interesting.
Like Sonya. Is that Sonya or Sophia, whatever her name is?
From, I know who you're talking about. I can't
whatever think. Country.
Yes, yeah, does. It does look just like her.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. I never clicked on it because I was like, this looks like some foolishness.
Yes, you need to check it out. It's very hilarious.
Great.
So yeah, but
make sure you go to the movie so we can talk about it this month,
people. I'm coming.
The next one's supposed to be coming out. Yes,
people. I'm gonna get it done.
Am I wrong? Ain't that supposed to come out this month?
It is 26th, I believe. Okay. Yeah, April. April is here, people.
April's in the building. Yeah. Shout out to my grandma's birthday. Either April the 6th or the 7th. Never can remember.
Oh,
so
my.
Sad.
Oh my.
Don't know any more April babies. Do you got any birthday shout out?
My mama, April 7th.
That's the right date. That's the same one as my grandma.
That's right.
April
7th. Yes.
April
7th. Yep. Well, anyway, let's wrap it up. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. It's great to be me, Davis.
What time is it?
What time is it? And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.